We're now focusing on a subject that I'm quite excited to talk about, and that is the story of Jewish revival across Africa. Later in the program, I'll be talking with Rabbi Moshe Silberhaft about the Jews of Zimbabwe come 2025. But now on the line, I have Avraham Ben Avraham, who is the chief editor of African Jewish Voices, and he is a writer, educator, and one of the most prominent voices sharing the story of Jewish revival across the continent. Through his platform, African Jewish Voices, which I urge you to have a look at, Avraham documents the lives, struggles, and spiritual journeys of communities reconnecting with Judaism in some of the most unexpected corners of the continent. And his work challenges assumptions and invites all of us to rethink what the global Jewish story really looks like. And he's joining us now from Lagos in Nigeria, if I'm not mistaken. Avraham, thanks so much for chatting with us. What are some of the challenges African Jewish communities face, whether halachically, politically, or in terms of recognition from broader Jewish institutions?
Oh, thank you very much. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. I'm actually in Uganda right now. So going straight to your question, there are lots of challenges across the board, although Jews in some part of Africa are already beginning to have solutions for some of these challenges in terms of recognition from broader Jewish institutions. Most parts of Africa continue to lack a typical Jewish community setting, which requires having a proper synagogue, a mikveh, a Jewish school for learning, and most importantly, a Jewish cemetery. In the area of economy, majority of Black African Jews are poor and often at a disadvantage in many affairs in their respective countries. Many also lack the funds and capital to create their own economy, helping them to rebuild their community by having the ability to produce their own food instead of having to depend on the market where kosher products and commodities cannot be guaranteed. The lack of professionally trained rabbis in many countries has compelled many communities to depend on self-taught leaders who in many cases do not have the required leadership skill to lead or to advocate for their Jewish communities.
You mentioned that you're in Uganda right now. What is the Jewish community like in Uganda? Is there one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Uganda has over 25 Jewish communities, which I've traveled to some of them. It is a very vibrant space here in East Africa. They are the largest Jewish congregation you can have here in East Africa when you compare them with the likes of Ethiopia, Kenya, and Tanzania. Uganda have very thriving and very vibrant Jewish communities, Jewish communities with so many rabbis who have attended yeshivas in America and also in Israel.
Avraham, I pause just to say to listeners, please have a look at AfricanJewishVoices.com. It's really interesting. And Avraham, in one of your recent pieces, you explore how solar electrification is helping Hebrew learning and community building. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, of course. Okay, let me begin with a short story. In a 2018 tour with Professor William Wise and Rabbi Wayne Franklin and his wife Anne, I got to meet this young person called David Ekazan, who had his bar mitzvah that was officiated by the same Rabbi Franklin in Port Harcourt, Southern Nigeria, in that same year. Okay, then from 2019, David, after learning how to read in Hebrew, started a Hebrew class in a synagogue, formerly known as Ha Shalom, now known as Beth Kesed, which is House of Relief Assembly in English, where he was teaching other young children how to read and pray in Hebrew. This Hebrew class continued for all these years, only to suffer challenges of electricity. Since they are located in a semi-rural area, they were somehow neglected for over 3 years by the government, who did nothing to restore the public electricity. But Baruch Hashem, through the intervention of Kulanu, an NGO based in the United States, a solar electrification system was installed to power the synagogue, enabling prayers, Torah study at night, Shabbat Erev, and festival nights, as well as the Hebrew learning class, to function adequately at night. It is worthy to also mention that at a point when the solar installation became less efficient, that Maggie Bilan, a Jewish woman and philanthropist in the United States, stepped in and funded a much-needed solar upgrade. I visited the synagogue last month for Shabbat and to see how the children Hebrew class, which is called Ardent Hebrew Academy, is going. And I can tell you that everything is working perfectly fine, and they have 24 hours electricity at the moment.
That's amazing. Abraham, do you feel that the global Jewish world truly sees and hears African Jewish communities?
Sorry, what did you say?
Do you feel that the world Jewish community sees and hears African Jewish communities?
Yes, of course. Again, some black African Jewish communities are already ahead of others and have found a way of having their voices heard abroad and also overseas. I mean, you cannot compare a country that has some of their Jewish people who are attending summer camps in the United States, and they have Jewish students also attending attending school overseas, or maybe other of their citizens who are in yeshiva. You cannot compare them with a country that has never had any attendee going for the summer camps or student rabbis in abroad, which is what my team in the African Jewish Voices are focused on, which is giving the African Jews a voice and putting effort to make sure that these voices is heard. Doing this and achieving results is also dependent on how far our voices can reach, and we cannot do this alone consistently year to year without some support from some donors going forward.
Is there a message or something you'd like to say to the Jewish world, particularly the Jewish community here in South Africa where I am?
Okay, yeah, of course. Let me say that to the South African Jews, I would love to see them increase collaboration with the rest of the Jewish population in other parts of sub-Saharan Africa. We have seen Jews from the United States, from Canada, from Israel, the UK, and even France visit black Jewish communities in Africa, but we hardly have seen our brothers and our sisters from South Africa doing the same, even though we know the South African Jewry has defined and a proper, well-established Jewish community setting, something other parts of the continent actually lack. Although recently some inroads have been made through a program such as the Shabbat Project, which is run by Warren Goldstein, the chief rabbi of South Africa. He stops at the end of the 2 days global event, only to resume the next year. In the area of Jewish sports, Cliff Garron and Rose, both directors of the Maccabi South African Union, recently are making moves to connect other parts of the continent in preparation for the creation of the proposed Maccabi African Confederation. So, but finally, and generally, we look forward to more collaboration with the Jews of South Africa to learn from them and to follow their footprints as a model in rebuilding our various Jewish communities across the African continent.
And that was Avraham Ben Avraham reminding us that the Jewish world is wider, deeper, and more diverse than many of us imagine. From the Bushveld to the Beit Midrash, the fire of Jewish identity continues to burn, not just in the places we expect, but as we heard here, in the hearts of those reclaiming it with courage and conviction. To follow his work, visit African Jewish Voices, one word, .com.